2 Timothy chapter number 4. Amen. I appreciate you being here this morning. I pray that God would bless you, speak to your heart this morning. We'll speak to you this morning on something I believe is a very needed topic needs to be preached on and talked about. It's something that a lot of people don't talk about, but a lot of people deal with. I believe God's put this message on my heart for some time now. He's been speaking to me and showing me some things from the Scriptures. And I want to share with you this morning what God has spoken to my heart. And I'm going to ask you to open your mind and your heart and ask God to speak to your heart this morning. Maybe this message may not be for you directly, but you may be able to use this message to help someone else. And we're going to speak about something this morning that I believe affects a lot of people. I believe a lot of people in our day, especially the time of the year, which we're about to enter into the holiday season. We're about to enter in just in a few weeks. We'll be celebrating Thanksgiving, and then shortly after that, we'll be going into Christmas and on into the New Year's. And many times in those times of the year, when a lot of us are celebrating, a lot of us are with our family, a lot of us are enjoying life, and it seems as if most people are, what we don't realize on the inside of some people that maybe even you see at church, maybe even you sat beside in the cubicle at work, or maybe you deal with them every day, see them, pass them on the way, maybe, quite possibly, they're dealing with what we're going to talk about this morning in their life. And around these times of the year, it seems as if it is multiplied more than any other time. Seems like the holidays draw out what I'm going to talk about this morning. You say, preacher, what is it? And this is what it is this morning. I'll read the scripture in just a second. Well, I'm going to speak on loneliness this morning. Loneliness. Loneliness. I'm speaking on this thought, being lonely but not being alone. Loneliness has been defined by some more often that it's not just being alone, but it is a state of mind that causes individuals to feel empty and alone, and sometimes even unwanted. Loneliness is to be affected with or to be characterized by or a feeling that is causing a depressing feeling of being alone, lonesome, destitute of sympathetic or friendly companionship in an intercourse and support with individuals or from individuals. It's to be without company, to be companionless, to be standing apart, or to feel isolated. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Many times in our society, even in our churches, people, though there are people around them, they have a feeling on the inside of loneliness. They feel as if they are all alone. There are people this morning that are married, been married for years, and even in a marriage, they feel lonely. There are people in big families that feel lonely. It's not that they're alone, but it's that they're lonely on the inside. Loneliness, Webster said, was solitude, a retirement, a seclusion from company. And no doubt that can be seen. But sometimes loneliness is more than the actual state of being alone. It's more of the feeling that I am alone. And many people in our society deal with this. We'll show you in just a second. Most people who are lonely, the American Council of Life Insurance Study did a study a few years ago, and they said the people who most feel lonely, this will surprise you, the number one group of people were college-age students. College students, people, and you think, why? And I don't know exactly why, other than maybe the fact that maybe they were feeling away from their friends that they'd been in high school with all those years, and now they're in the college age, and it seems as if, and that's a great body of people, the college age students. Then there's the divorced, and if you've suffered and been through the act of divorce, you know that maybe there's family around, but sometimes during divorce you feel lonely, and through those times afterwards. Then there are those who are the welfare or the recipients of benefits, people who feel lonely, single mothers. If you've been a single mother and you're here this morning, you know that there's been some lonely days and some times of loneliness in your life. Housewives that don't get out much, rural students, the elderly. Sometimes these are the main groups of people that deal with loneliness. But I want to say to you this morning that they are not the only people who deal with loneliness. They may be the main. There are multitudes of people who you may not be alone, but you feel at times lonely. And I believe God's Word gives us some help through this situation, through these times of life. You say, preacher, why does loneliness need to be talked about? Why does loneliness need to be dealt with from the pulpit? I'll say this morning. Loneliness many times leads to depression. Loneliness many times leads people to thoughts of suicide. Loneliness has been known to be linked to bad health. Cardiovascular disease is increased with the feeling of loneliness. Stroke risk are increased. Heart problems are increased. There's an increase of stress levels. There's a decrease of the memory. There's a decrease of the capacity and the ability of learning. There are poor decisions that are made when people deal with loneliness. Loneliness is a feeling that people need to learn how to deal with. And you say, preacher, how can we deal with it? Well, I'll say this. We'll deal with loneliness the same way we'll deal with any problem of life. We'll go to the Word of God and we'll find some help. Hey, or we won't get any help. All right? So that's what we're going to do this morning. I want you to look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. In verse number, we'll start out in verse number 16. Paul the Apostle, he's about to be beheaded. He doesn't know how many days ahead of time, but now looking back, we know that this was the last letter that he wrote. And in chapter 4, verse 16, he wrote and he said this. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. No man stood with me. But watch this. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I say to you this morning that the Apostle Paul himself dealt with loneliness. He dealt in the twilight of his life, and he's lived for God for years. He served the Lord faithfully, and now he feels loneliness creeping in. And I will say some things to you this morning, and with the help of the Lord, we'll give you some help from the Word of God that may be able to help us. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for your touch. I pray for your help. And I pray you'd speak to hearts and lives and to help us from your word by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Loneliness. Preacher, are people really lonely? Is this a reality? Well, we have read here about the Apostle Paul. If you was to go back to verse number 9 or number 10, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Speaking specifically of someone who was close to Paul, who had now, at a time in his life, forsaking him. And now in verse 16, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And then he prayed and said, I pray God that it be not laid to their charge. Have you ever felt as if all men had forsaken you? Have you ever felt, came to the field, whether they have or not, you felt as if you were abandoned? The word loneliness and here to be forsaken, it has the idea of total disbandment. Somebody has abandoned you and left you all alone. Survey was done a few years ago, and 21% of 15, listen to me, 15 to 24-year-olds were classified and listed themselves as being lonely. I said 15 to 24-year-olds. We're not talking about people sitting in a rest home. We're talking about 15 to 24 years old. Young people, seems as if there's people all around them. Seems as if they've got friends. Seems as if they've got a life to go. Hey, 15 to 24, 21, almost a quarter percent of that age group said they were lonely. Loneliness is real. 45-year-olds and up. There was 3,012 of them surveyed. And out of those 3,012 of people 45 years and older, 35% of them said that they suffered from being lonely. 43% of those from age 45 to 49 said that they were lonely. I'm saying to you, loneliness is a real subject. It's something that really happens in our society, and we need to find some help with it. Loneliness is so real that a couple of years ago, out in the state of Kansas, someone put up a bulletin on the road and said, I'll listen to you talk for 30 minutes for $5. I mean, they're advertising. Call this number. I'll listen to you talk 30 minutes
Where if they just felt like they needed somebody to talk. You say, preacher, how success? He said soon after he put up that billboard, it wasn't long, he was recording 10 to 20 calls a day. I'm telling you, there are people out there that need to be heard. They just want somebody to listen to them. They feel as if they are lonely. 40% of all adults in the United States that were surveyed said they were lonely, and that is up 20% from in the 1980s. I'm saying, hey, we've got a lot of people around us. We've got a lot of technology. Can I say technology sometimes would lead to this feeling? Sometimes we are so wrapped up in technology that people talk to people, but they have no real relationships with people. And they feel lonely on the inside. You say, preacher, does the Bible have anything to say about loneliness? I'll give you this morning a couple of Bible examples of people that maybe they dealt with a little bit of loneliness. I think about Adam. You say, Adam, God created Adam. He's the first man that was ever created. But do you know that the Bible says that God created a woman from the rib of Adam? And made him a woman to be at helpmeet. And you know why? Because back in Genesis 1 and 2, Jesus or God said that it was not good for man to be alone. That's what he said. And do you know that the statistics show us that a man who has a partner or a wife, I should say to be correct in this day, so you know what I'm talking about, a man who has a wife, he has a better chance of living a longer life than a man who does not have a wife. I'm saying God said in the beginning that it was not good for a man to be alone. Noah, think about Noah, the preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, he preached and thousands upon thousands poked fun at him and rejected him. But for 120 years, it was only him and his family standing for the truth, only him and his family that were he prepared an ark for to get on. Think about the feelings of loneliness and feeling like I'm in this thing all alone. Feeling as if nobody's listening. Feeling as if nobody's on my side. Feeling as if nobody cares what I say. Feeling as if I'm pouring out and I am investing into this individuals. I'm investing. I'm trying to help them, yet they don't care. And the feeling of loneliness being one of eight out of all the earth's population. Think about Elijah. Y'all remember Elijah, man? He called down fire from God on Mount Carmel. Called down fire from heaven in his prayer. But a few days later, he's out there underneath of a juniper tree. He's saying, God, I would just want to die. You know what? Hey, you know what he felt like it was? He felt like he was all alone. He felt as if in the ministry, in the heat of the battle, in the, hey, watch this, on the tip top of victory, he felt as if he was the only one. And he suffered from loneliness, and it led to a form of depression. And God showed Elijah, he said, son, you're not in this alone. I've got 7,000 more that hadn't bowed to knee. But Elijah suffered a very real suffering of loneliness leading to depression. I think about the psalmist David, the great king of Israel. I think about David, how he said in Psalm 25:16, he said, I'm desolate and afflicted. And many times in David's life, he's on the run. He's fleeing either from King Saul or he's fleeing Absalom. And he's out there in the wilderness. He's out there in the mountains. He's going through the woods. And I think of the feeling that he had of loneliness. And he said, God, I'm desolate and afflicted. Think about John, the beloved, and how he is boiled in oil and he's left and he's exiled in Patmos, left to die. And I think that he's over there by himself. I don't know if he saw a soldier once in a while, but I think of the loneliness that he must have felt, being all alone. And then I think here in our text we've read that the Apostle Paul said, Demas had forsaken him. And then he said in verse 16, at his first answer, that no man stood with him, that all men forsook him. All men forsook him. And can I just remind you, hey, that loneliness is a reality. And if you've dealt with it, hey, you don't need to think that, oh, I'm some bad person or I need to be ashamed of this. I'm simply saying to you, hey, it's a very real feeling and we've all went through it most likely at some time in our life. And God can help you with it. He's helped these and he can help you. Very real thing. You say, preacher, I'll just simply say this. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus in Isaiah 53:3 that he was despised and rejected of men. Hey, on the very cross, Matthew 27:46, Jesus hanging on the cross and he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's rejected and despised of men, but he's forsaken by his own Father. And the point a victory on the cross? I'm saying, hey, I'm saying this is a very real thing that people deal with. It's not something to be shunned. It's not something to be looked at weird or think somebody's, a sissy or they just need to man up. Hey, this is a very real symptom that people deal with every day. It's something that, hey, could not, if it's not right now, it could very well happen to you in your life. Loneliness. There are people this morning sitting under the sound of my voice. There's no doubt in my mind. You may be in a marriage. You may be in a church. You may be in a group. You may be in a group of people. But on the inside, when nobody knows, you're dealing with feeling lonely. You feel like you're the only one. You feel like you have no one to talk to. You feel like, and I'm not trying to play your emotions, I'm just trying to say, hey, it's a very real thing that people deal with. And people feel as if I have no one to spend time with, I have no one to talk to. And I just want to remind you, you're in good company. Jesus was despised and rejected of men, and he was forsaken by his own Father. It's a real thing. It's real. You say, preacher, why do we suffer from loneliness? Why do we have these feelings? I'll give you a couple of reasons, and I'm going to go back to verse number 10. I want you to go with me in the Word of God. In chapter 4 and verse number 9, Paul said, watch this, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. You think he wanted to see him? What he was saying in verse number 9 was, hurry up and get on down here. I need to see you. Y'all, you ever felt like you're so lonely you just need to see somebody? That's Paul right here in the prison. He said in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly. He didn't say a long time. What he didn't say was take your time. He said, do your diligence to come to me shortly. And then verse number 10, he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And it's departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. For he is profitable to me, for the ministry. Verse number 12. And Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, verse 17, he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me, he said, the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Watch this. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth. Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all his brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. I just read that list, and in that list, if you caught it, there were several people that had at one time been with the Apostle Paul, but they had either left him or he had left them for certain reasons in his life. And through the departure of these people and the dealings of life without those people by his side, his support system, if you will, that loneliness had come into his life. I'm going to say to you this morning, number one, many people deal with loneliness and suffer from loneliness because of a feeling of this, desertion. Because an act of desertion. Desertion. Hey, Paul said in verse number 10, he said, Demas hath forsaken me. That is that Demas, well, we could go into Demas's life and see that Demas got his eyes off the Lord and he started looking at the things of the world and he messed up. But the very fact is that Demas was a comrade of the Apostle Paul. He was a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul. He was in his support system. He was his help. And there came a time in his life where Demas said, hey, Paul, I don't love you as much as I do the world. And I don't love God as much as I do the world. So, Paul, hey, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm leaving you. I'll see you. And Paul was deserted by Demas. He said, Demas hath forsaken me. Maybe you've had someone in your life that you thought you could depend upon. Someone that you, hey, go to. Someone that you thought was a rock for you. Someone that you thought was close to you. Someone that you thought would be there to the end. And there came a time in your life when they said, I'm out of here. And because of that, you have suffered from loneliness. You're in good company. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Hey, they may have loved something else. They have had their fill of you. They may have met someone else, but they deserted you for one reason or the other. And because of that, you have feelings of loneliness and you, suffer and you beat up yourself on the inside and you don't think you can ever see the light of day and you don't know where you're going to find help because you've been deserted. Some people feel lonely because of departure. Not just being deserted, but just simply because people have left. In verse 10 and 11, he talked about Demas that forsook him, but then he talked about some people who went in other areas of ministry. He talked about Crescens to Galatia. Titus had went to Dalmatia. The Bible doesn't teach us anywhere that Titus was backslidden or that he deserted and went off on God, but they had other areas of life. Hey, they got off in things. Doing other areas of life. And sometimes throughout life, we've got close friends, you've got people you depend upon, and just life takes them in different directions. And when that happens, sometimes we don't know how to deal with it because we weren't planning on them not being there, and we sometimes suffer from loneliness because that person that was close to us, that person we were used to being there, we used to lean on them, and now life is, and the decisions of life have taken them elsewhere, and we don't know what to do. Departure. Maybe it's defilement. In chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul said in verse 15, he said, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. He's talking about people that had, they turned away from Paul, they turned away from the Word of God, and they went into wickedness. Because, there are people that you used to sit beside in church. They were your friends. But they're defiled. They're caught up in sin. They're not in church anymore. They're not faithful. They don't care anything about God anymore. And you feel somewhat lonely on the inside because you miss them sitting there, and sometimes it bothers you and it weighs you down. Defilement. But then simply duty. The duties of life. In verse number 11, Paul said, only Luke's with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable for ministry. And back in verse number 11, he talked about Crescens and Titus and those different ones. You know what? It's not just that they're defiled. It's not that they have been deserted, but they're duty. Maybe it's ministry. Maybe it's someone that you used to go to church with and God has called them off into another area of ministry and placed them somewhere, but you suffer loneliness because of it. I'm saying to you this morning that loneliness is real, and here are just some reasons. Sometimes it's death. Many times we would all have to say that a loved one has departed this world and they've gone on in death and they've passed from this life into the life of eternity. And we sometimes miss them. We feel their void. We see them, their place where they used to sat. We remember the memories and we recollect how we spent time with them and the enjoyment we had with them. But we don't sometimes know how to deal with their absence because of death. Death brings loneliness. It's very natural for death to bring loneliness into our life. Sometimes maybe it's because of disease. Paul said in chapter 4, there at the end of the chapter, he talked about Trophimus. He said, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. In other words, Trophimus couldn't go on in the journey. He couldn't continue with Paul. He was sick. He had to stay behind. And Paul is dealing, watch it now, with loneliness. And maybe if Trophimus could have been there, he maybe could have supported him and aided him in this feeling. But this is just one more individual that was not in his life at this time directly because of disease. There may be someone in here because of disease or death, maybe divorce. And the pains that divorce brings into people's life. And let me just simply say to you this morning that think you've got a smug nose on your face and you look down on anybody that's been in a divorce. Hey, you better learn to say that by the grace of God, it could be you. Everybody that has a divorce didn't necessarily want a divorce. We live in a day of no fault, whatever that's called. No fault. In other words, if a dude sees another woman and he wants to run off and have an affair and leave his wife, leave all his responsibility of his children and his wife behind, if he wants to do that, he pays enough money, he can do it. Everybody, and a woman can do it too. I'm just simply saying to you, hey, everybody that went through the pains of divorce didn't ask for it. Wasn't looking for it. There are people that, hey, they had no choice. Somebody wrote them a letter, put it in the mail, and they got it. When they read it, they realized it was over. And they suffer today because of loneliness. Maybe it's decisions in our life, decisions that we have made. Maybe decisions that we have made, really sometimes necessary decisions that we have decided that, hey, this person is not good for me and I've got to separate from them. But on the inside, you still had emotional feelings that you enjoyed part of that person being in your life, whether they were good or bad. And you suffer from loneliness. I'm just simply saying there are many variables that may be the reasons. Paul here, we read many reasons why people were out of his life at this time. I'm simply saying to you, it can happen. There's the reality of loneliness. There are the reasons that bring loneliness. And I will say to you, there's a remedy for loneliness. The preacher, you say there's a remedy? Yes, absolutely there's a remedy. I said, for every problem you face, God's got something for you. I think about, I was doing some reading and studying on this, and I was reading a thing, and it had a story about a fellow that went to his doctor, and he had a terrible disease, and his doctor had told him, he said, son, he said, the disease is so bad, we're going to have to put you in isolation. And he said, we're going to have to put you in there and shut the door and nobody's going to come in and go out. And he said, doc, he said, is isolation, is that going to cure? He said, no. He said, it's going to be so bad, son. He said, we're going to put you in isolation and we're going to put you on a diet of pizza and pancakes. He said, okay, doc. He said, is pizza and pancakes going to be the cure? He said, no, but he said, that's the only thing we can fit under the door. You may, hey, listen, laugh a little bit, lighten up. But you know, from time to time in life, you may feel as if you're in a box. You may feel as if you are isolated from the world. And you may feel like the only thing you're getting is pizza and pancakes. Now, I'm going to say to you, there's hope. There's things people try to in order to try to cope with loneliness and this loneliness that forms of depression. Hey, they try activities. There are people that are, listen, I've known people that have gone through divorce or even in the loss of a loved one in death and different areas and or a loss of a good friend. And I've known people, and personally I've watched this, they engage themselves in increased activities. They go out and do things that they didn't do before. They try to cope. They're trying to deal with. They're trying to keep themselves busy. Busyness of life. More activities, thinking that if I can just keep my mind off the fact that I'm alone, that I'm lonely, I'm busy. There are people that will engage in study. They will dive into studying in their life. And you realize some of the most miserable, lonely people are some of the smartest people intellectually because they have dove into books, they have dove into education as a way of escape from the loneliness that they deal with. Reading. Studying, playing music. Some people try to cope with loneliness playing music, learning an instrument. Some people try to deal with loneliness listening to music, and they constantly have noise, music, something in their brain coming, blah, 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 trying to drown out those feelings. Many people will increase their work habits. I've known men that when their wife left them or they went suffered through, I've known men who took on a second job or they added hours of overtime and they increased their workload. Why? Not necessarily for the money, but to keep themselves occupied and to keep their mind at ease. There have been many people who have dove into different activities, writing, exercising. How many times have you seen someone that suffered from a divorce or from a broken relationship or something, and they would automatically run to the gym, and they're going to get in shape, and they're going to begin to run. Physical exercise. Really, and honestly, they're not really as worried about their physical as they are the emotional and what they're dealing with on the inside, and they don't know how to cope with it, so they're diving into something else trying to hide it. Hobbies, increased hobbies, movies. Some people like to spend money. Some people go out and blow all kinds of money. Trying to buy things, trying to impress people, trying to satisfy a longing by spending money and buying things that they think will fill the void. Some people reach out trying to make more social contact. We live in a day and age where I don't know if anybody meets at the grocery store anymore. Man, they meet on the internet. I mean, www.meetmetonight. I mean, it's all over the place. I need a friend. www.ineedafriend. www.dateme. Whatever they are. Social networks, advertised all around. You know what people are doing? You know why there's so many of them being advertised in their day? Because people feel lonely. And they're seeking out, they're trying to make, maybe they go to a park. Maybe they do go to a church. You realize some people, when they come to church, they're looking to make a social contact. And can I say to you, no other reason from that, that's why it's important that when a visitor comes through their doors, you ought to be looking for them and you ought to run to the door and shake their hand. Let them know you ought not sit around in your little holy huddle and they go, wonder who that is. Hey, get up out your seat, go shake their hand, greet them, and find out who they are. Some people come to church just looking for a friend. They don't realize that the greatest friend they ever needed is the friend they're going to meet when they come there. They're just looking for some social contact. And it may take your social contact to lead them to a saving contact. Reaching out. Alcohol, drugs are prevalent in people because they feel lonely. The only way they know how to deal with it, some of them, is to drown out their sorrows and put another tear in their beer. And to sit on the bar stool, act like a fool, drinking their troubles goodbye. And people every day, I'm telling you, the alcohol and the drug life is full of people that they turn to alcohol, they turn to pills, they turn to needles, they turn to these things because they had a feeling of loneliness and they did not know how to cope with it. Reminded of Pepper Rogers. Some of you may know who Pepper Rogers is. In the 70s, he was a football coach for UCLA. Had a terrible season early in the 70s. Felt as if he was dejected, man. Felt like he couldn't win a game. Felt like he, I know some coaches like that today, but anyhow, they feel like he couldn't do anything right. Felt as if because he was doing so bad that he didn't have a friend in the world. And he told his wife, he said, I feel like my dog is my only friend. And he spent more time that year, he said, with his dog than anybody. And he told his wife one day, he said, honey, every man needs at least two good friends. So his wife went out and bought him another dog. Simply saying, hey, sometimes we try to deal with things and we try to cope with it and we don't have the answer. We don't know the right answer. Can I say to you this morning that you can try all these things? You can try the pills. You can try the exercising bikes. Hey, you can try, hey, increased work. You can try all the activities of the world and all the hobbies and all. Hey, you can try it all. But I want to say to you that the only true and the only lasting remedy that will ever be found for your loneliness or anybody else's loneliness, hey, the only remedy will be found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God. Watch now. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. He's looking around. He's looking within him. He said, all men forsook me. There's nobody. He's thinking about Demas. He's thinking about all them people that he had to leave behind. And he said, hey, no man stood with me. All men had forsaken him. But watch what he said in verse number 17. He said in verse 17, he said, notwithstanding, hey, the Lord stood by me. I want to say to you, thanks be to God that when the world walks out and when your best friend turns his back and when your husband or the wife says, I'm done. Hey, when your best friend stabs you and he stabs you good and says goodbye, I want to say to you, there's one who said in Hebrews 13:5, he said, let your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thank God when the world turns and walks off, Jesus says, I ain't going nowhere. I'm with you and I'm here to stay. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Psalm 27, David, who had said he was despised and he was afflicted. In verse chapter 27, verse 10, he said, when my father and when my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up.
I want to hear to encourage you this morning. I want to help you this morning. I want you to see that if you're a child of God, hey, everybody in the world can turn you aside. You can have all the feelings on the inside. But if you know Jesus, the fact is, you're never alone. No, never alone. He said, the Lord stood with me. He stood beside me. He's there through the thick and through the thin. He's there in the good times. He's there in the bad. He'll be the best friend that you could ever have. Thank God there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And when your own mother and your own father may forsake you, they may put you aside, there's a God in heaven that if you know him through the person of his son, Jesus Christ, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You may have feelings of loneliness, but I say to you this morning, if you're a born-again child of God, you are never alone. Never. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. I thank God. He said he stood by me. Watch this. He didn't just stand by him, but he said the Lord stood with me. But then he said the Lord strengthened me. Watch verse 17. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Strengthened me? The word strengthened means he empowered me, he enabled me. Many people who suffer from loneliness, they feel as if they just can't go on. They feel as if they can't meet tomorrow. But not only did he say that I'm with you, not only am I present, but he said I'm empowering you. I'm going to give you the strength to go on. Philippians 4, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the same word. He gives you the strength. He gives you the fortitude. Hey, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're saved. Thank God he strengthens us. Let me say this. Not only does he stand with us, not only does he strengthen us, I'll say thirdly, the Lord shines through us. Look at verse 17. He said, and the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, watch this, that by me, wait a minute, this is the fellow that was just now saying he was forsaken. This is the fellow just now said nobody was with him. He said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. And that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. What's he saying there, preacher? I'm saying the Lord not only stood with him, and the Lord not only strengthened him, but the Lord shined in his life. By the Lord staying with him and the Lord empowering him and strengthening him, hey, his life was a testimony. His life was a witness to those that were watching. And he said, hey, old Paul's down there in prison. Seems like all his friends are gone, but he's down there singing No, Never Alone. What's going on? And God used him to shine in the dark because of his loneliness. He said that by me, hey, the preaching might be fully known and the Gentiles might hear. He said basically God used him. God stood with him and strengthened him and encouraged him and empowered him so that God could use him to be a witness to others. And I'll say to you this morning, you may be sitting here this morning. You may not be saved. You may have never trusted Jesus Christ. And can I say to you, that's the loneliest feeling in the world. But if you'll come to know Jesus Christ, you'll have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You'll have a friend that'll never leave you, never forsake you. But I'll say to you that are saved this morning, and you may deal with loneliness, and that's very real. But I'll say to you, you can be encouraged that in your times of loneliness, you are never alone. Hey, listen, the preacher may not be there for you. The church may not always be there for you. Your husband or your wife may not always be able to understand and be there in your situations. There's a God in heaven that will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. He will always be there standing by your side. And not only that, he will strengthen you. And he wants to shine through you
And if you allow him to give you the help and the strength, and if instead of running to the world and instead of running to the pills and the bottles and the things of the world and the entertainment to drown out your sorrows, if you'll run to the friend that sits closer than a brother and you'll go to him for strength, he wants to strengthen you. Not only that, he wants to shine through you. He wants your life to be a testimony of his grace and his faithfulness. So I asked you this morning, have you ever dealt with loneliness? Maybe you're dealing with loneliness right now. Maybe you've got a friend that's dealing with loneliness. Maybe you've got somebody in your life that's dealing with this. Maybe it's you. And I want to encourage you to say, I'm not going to run from God in this situation, but I'm going to realize the truth that God is with me. He wants to strengthen me, and he wants to use me, and I'm going to cling to God in this situation. And I'm going to draw near to him. He said, if I draw near to him, that he would draw nigh to me. Thank God, there's a remedy. Thank God, there's a remedy. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I pray that God, you'd take this message that you've put in my heart, and I pray, God, you'd use it for your glory, speak to hearts and lives. I pray, God, if there be anybody here this morning that's not saved, under the sound of my voice, they've never been born again, God, I pray that you'd convict that heart, draw that soul, your son. And I pray for Christians that may be sitting here that God, sometimes we don't like to talk about it. Sometimes we don't like to let others know. God, Lord, you said you'd give grace to the humble. So God, I pray this morning that you'd help us to humble ourselves. Maybe gather around this altar and ask you to give us strength and the grace that we need and to help us in this situation. Dealing with loneliness. Help us, Lord, I pray, to see and to find the remedy in Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.